news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Sources tell ABC that President Trump is pressuring his own Justice Department to pay him $230 million as a settlement from two previous investigations, one involving potential ties he had to Russia in the 2016 election, the other related to the handling of classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago. Vice President J.D. Vance in Israel meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and saying of the ceasefire,
"We have a very, very tough task ahead of us, which is to disarm Hamas, but rebuild Gaza to make life better for the people in Gaza, but also to ensure that Hamas is no longer a threat to our friends in Israel."
President Trump's pick to lead a federal watchdog agency has withdrawn his name from consideration, Paul Ingrassia, after multiple offensive text messages were found on his phone. Construction of the White House ballroom goes on at the same time as destruction of the White House East Wing, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, asking for a pause so a public review can take place. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
A majority of school districts across Wisconsin are getting less funding from the state this year. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
70% of school districts are facing a drop in general state aid, according to full data from the Department of Public Instruction. For years, teachers and administrators have advocated for more money and for updates to the state funding formula. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says per pupil spending in Wisconsin has lagged behind inflation and behind the national average. Their researchers credit a 2011 change that dropped school revenue limits by 5.5%, a Republican-authored bill that became law under Governor Scott Walker. As they've been in charge of the legislature, Republicans have also focused on lowering property taxes. However, so many school districts are struggling to make ends meet that we're seeing record numbers of referendums on the ballot. Residents are often choosing to raise their own property taxes just to fund their schools. State Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin, a Democrat from the 8th Senate District.
"Due to the legislature's failure to fund our schools, Wisconsin already has one of the highest property tax rates in the country. And if our communities continue to be forced to referendum, those tax rates will continue to rise."
Last year, there were 241 school referendums held across Wisconsin, the most ever. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Things aren't all bad in our area. The Appleton Area School District will see a 2.75% increase in funding. Oshkosh gets a 1.6% increase in funding. Manassas sees an increase of 1.9%. Nina, however, is one of the districts in our area that will see a reduction in state funding with a 0.92% decrease. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks season tips off at 7 o'clock against the Washington Wizards, and former Bucks star Chris Middleton. How's he doing a year after having surgery on both of his ankles?
Man, life is good. I feel refreshed for one. Great offseason where I just got to work on myself, not have to worry about going into procedures or, you know, a long rehab. So I'm definitely feeling refreshed and, you know, blessed and thankful to still be playing. And, you know, I'm excited for this year.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers instructed the Five Surf Forum scoreboard crew to produce a video tribute for Middleton. How are fans going to react to seeing him in a Wizards uniform?
Are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. And I think that's what people forget most. Like, as good as he was off on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy. A high near 50. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, high low 50s. It's 42 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Wrightlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Wrightlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning. It's October 22nd, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, by YouTube, by podcast. We appreciate you being here in the middle of the week. I got a question for you. Have you got a great photo of fall colors yet? I know for some of you, myself included, it's kind of irresistible when the color's just right and you got to go snap a photo. And I've got so many around Lake Wissota, and I've got the colors really popping right now, but it's also been kind of cloudy and rainy. That's going to change in the forecast. So I'm expecting to have some awesome photos of fall colors around the lake here real soon. And we are starting to collect them here at Up North News and putting them in our newsletter. And I'm sure we'll put up a carousel for social media as well. And we would love to see your photos of fall colors around the state. And you can send them to us directly through email. You can use this address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But guess what? If you want producer Parker Olson to see them as well, well, just text it through us through the Civic Media app. We can do that. We have the capability. Parker Olson is here right now in Madison Studio A2 and can confirm. People send us photos.
They do.
Nice. Yeah, like we got all kinds from the No Kings rallies. People yes. wanted us to see the funny signs that were up there as well.
I appreciate the funny signs.
Yeah. So we like that very much. So you can use that Civic Media app to text us your comments, text us your photos. You can call us directly from the app, or you can call 855-75-CIVIC, or you can leave a voice note as well, all on there. But the colors would be great. Are they? I have no idea if they've started really changing down in Madison yet.
Oh, yeah, they really have. I didn't, Pat, but I almost took a picture the other day because it was really pretty. It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, we do live in a pretty place, and it's just nice to have that reminder now and then. So again, we'd love to get some of your fall foliage photos, if you would. Coming up a little later in our homeroom segment, we will be talking to the president of the school board in Viroqua. She recently joined some state lawmakers in making sure the public understood that the new state budget, while it did put some money in things like special education, there was a 0% increase in general state aid to school districts. 0%. Inflation's not 0%. And so school districts are having an even tougher time, even after the state budget, because that's the best the Republican-led legislature would do in reaching a deal with Governor Tony Evers to get the budget passed on time. And so there are going to be more referendums. Because once again, this legislature would rather pass the buck and make school boards into the bad guys and ask voters to raise their own property taxes rather than pay out of a multi-billion dollar state surplus. And so Angie Lawrence from Viroqua will tell us more about the way the system is set up right now. That's in our homeroom segment coming up at 7:35 this morning. I mentioned the newsletter, and if you don't get it already, well, you need to fix that. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and you can see what Ellie Bordeaux is putting together. She's going to tell you about it as well, because she's going to be here 1 hour from now. She joins us now on Wednesday mornings right after the 7 o'clock news to talk about what's going in our daily newsletter, including today. Well, let's see. We talked about for Brewers and Packers seasons that there were new food and beverage options available. Always are each season as they turn things over. That's no different at the Fiserv Forum for the Milwaukee Bucks, who tip off their season tonight. And so we'll learn more about some of the new interesting food and beverage choices at Bucks games. Also, she has a new series called Civic Check-In on some of the terminology that is out there when we're talking about the Trump administration. You know, things like last week she talked about the, you know, the literal definition of authoritarianism. And today it's oligarchy. And these are all $5 words that people go, oh, college boy with your, well, they mean something. And they mean something serious and real in the context of what's happening in our country in the here and now. And so Ellie gets into oligarchy and what it means when we've got more billionaires than ever, and they're not just buying nice yachts and cars and houses. They're buying power. They're buying access. They're almost literally buying politicians. Maybe some would say literally. And so oligarchy is, it's not a word you use all the time, but it's a word you maybe want to get freshened up on, because it sure is starting to apply to what's happening in our country today. There's also our Sunday morning newsletter that I put together, and you can sign up for that at the same website, upnorthnewswi.com. And we have a question of the week, where this week we ask about online sports betting. Now, you do have things like FanDuel and DraftKings that are out there. These are national sites, and technically, they're not legal to use in Wisconsin. It's a misdemeanor. It's probably not something that ever gets enforced, but technically it's not done legally. There are ways to gamble legally in Wisconsin, like going to one of the many casinos owned by tribal nations around the state. And inside those casinos, inside some of them, are what are called sports books. Just basically little lounges where you can watch all kinds of sports on a million TVs, and you can place bets right there on the professional sports. But what about an online option where instead of having to physically be in one of the tribal casinos, could they operate an online site and then just at home you could place bets on professional sports? That could be made legal. The question to you is, should it be made legal? Is it something that is out there anyway? And so let's make it tied to legal state casinos, or is it something that encourages gambling abuse? What are your thoughts on that? We're already getting a nice wave of responses on both sides of the question. And again, you see it first by signing up for our Sunday morning newsletter. Also coming up, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to make a special Wednesday appearance with us at 8:35. And that's because of Halle Berry, the actress. Now, Halle Berry won't be here, but we will hear from her because she was part of a virtual news conference yesterday on behalf of a bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature related to menopause information, education, and resources. And so we'll play back some of that news conference where Halle Berry talks about, you know, just how many millions of women go through menopause in this country, how many thousands per day move into that phase, and yet there's still so much stigma around women's health at that age, acknowledging the symptoms and treating the symptoms and doing more medical research and, you know, making sure there isn't misinformation out there. It's not often we get to talk about a bipartisan bill, especially one getting celebrity support. So Dr. Lyerly will be along to talk to us about that as well. Now, if you can't stick around till 8:35 for that segment, or 7:35 for our homeroom segment, and or even 6:35 when we do our daily history lesson, be sure you sign up for us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and get all signed up now. 6:14 right now. And again, I've mentioned it's October 22nd. So we're still just over a week away from Halloween. And yet perhaps because of the change in weather, perhaps for a myriad other reasons, Parker, we have started looking into Christmas shopping and what to get for people. I mean, specifically our kids and grandkids, but we've reached that point in the calendar where even you got on a little quarter zip fleece there, it looks like, or something, right? You know, to everything there is a season, and that includes the season for holiday gifts. We stopped at Farm and Fleet in Hallie over the weekend.
The best place to find gifts.
The first thing the greeter hands us is a scratch-off card for a potential discount at their Toyland. And Toyland is about to open up there, or maybe it has. I'm not sure. But we and we're not the only ones who said this. We're like, wait, that was always a Thanksgiving week thing. You know, and I'm not picking on Farm and Fleet. I'm saying in general, the seasons have all moved up. I've not been to Target in the past couple of weeks here. I dare say if you go to Target and you're looking for a last minute Halloween costume, you're going to be out of luck because you're going to find all kinds of Christmas stuff in there. And that's just how American retail works in this day and age. And so, we're thinking about Christmas shopping, which by the way, can you hear the flood approaching? Yeah. The flood, the catalogs, my mailbox is going to be full of catalogs real soon.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking maybe this is more of a reflection on how much we procrastinate, Pat.
It could be.
Perhaps we need it this early.
I don't mind it. Yeah.
No, I don't mind it. I don't want it, Pat.
Tony says your Halloween costume is going to be an elf or a reindeer. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's a good idea.
There will be those there. Yes. The thing is, with both of our daughters being born the last week of October, a couple of years apart, we had gotten into the habit back during the pregnancies of, boy, we better get some Christmas stuff prepped ahead of time, you know, because then the babies are going to be born and times are going to get crazy. So for the longest time, that actually became our tradition, was like early to mid-October, was to try to bang out as many Christmas gifts as we could on our list. But over time, not just because we got a little bit lazier, you know, you're not going through pregnancies and newborns anymore, but there's all those special, you know, what specials are you going to miss? They put so many specials out there for like Black Friday and that. Yeah. You don't want to miss any of that. So we've started talking about it, but the shopping is probably going to begin in earnest for many people in the next week or two here.
Yeah, probably. And so does that mean that like Black Friday and Cyber Monday are your last good chance at getting stuff?
The last big
reliable chance.
Yeah, there's always like a retailer somewhere that's like, ooh, we gotta move these microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery. Anyway, so they'll run something, you know, closer to Christmas out of desperation. But yeah, the Black Friday Cyber Monday thing is kind of it, which I don't mind that because so much now is done online. And don't get me wrong, I would love to support local retailers as much as possible. There's just fewer and fewer of them all the time. But one of the things I don't miss that seemed to have become quite a tradition for about a generation there was the Black Friday crowds where people were like beating each other up to get to, you know, Beanie Babies or Tickle Me Elmo or whatever the deal is.
You love waking up on Friday morning to the videos of people beating each other in a Walmart parking lot trying to get in line.
No. let's see. Tony says, wait, your wife's significant other hasn't finished their Christmas shopping like a month ago? I couldn't buy Christmas presents for anyone but her if I wanted to. Well, see, we all have our own division of labor there. And I have used Wisconsin-based catalogs before. You're sending things like Newski's bacon or Kringles out of Racine, you know, things like that. So we actually should put a little emphasis on Wisconsin retailers, Wisconsin made Christmas gifts that people, you know, could do. Cause then you don't have to go out trudging through the parking lots, but you're still supporting, you know, Wisconsin retailers and getting things done that way. So, yep, here we are. We're setting up the time for Christmas here. Temperatures around the state range from 37 in Manitowish Waters and Solon Springs to 48 in Shawano. It is 43 right now in Wausau. Here in Chippewa Falls and Wisconsin Rapids, in Oshkosh and La Crosse, it's 45 degrees right now. Lingering rain chances today, then pleasant and seasonal for the rest of the week. All right, we'll talk about a couple of bad ideas from the GOP, more guns, and a recycled candidate for attorney general, all coming up from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
In America, 1 in 8 women will face breast cancer, and 85% of breast cancer patients have a family history of breast cancer. Don't let the odds define you. Early detection is your best protection. Have a mammogram every year starting at age 40 if you're at average risk. While breast cancer is the most common malignancy worldwide, early screening saves lives. Knowledge is power. Take charge of your health. Get your yearly mammogram and stay ahead of the fight. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Spice, the premier manufacturer of mustard.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at FocusOnFreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just about 6:23 right now, and I have the unhappy duty to tell you it's still dark out there. Oh well, seasons change. Winter's still approaching. Why? We're talking about Christmas shopping. Of course we are. Coming up later today across the Civic Media Radio Network, Matt Nair on Air follows this fine program at 9 o'clock. Deborah Cron Miller from the League of Women Voters will join Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Again, that's about 9:35 that you can catch Deborah Cron Miller from the League of Women Voters. Todd Alba, who had a birthday yesterday, but not old enough to retire, contrary to public opinion. He'll have his show today from 2 to 4. I will be joining him along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project right off the top, just after the news at 2 o'clock. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon from 4 to 6. Coming up at 5 o'clock, she will have officials from the group Kids Forward on how the government shutdown has led to the real possibility that SNAP nutritional benefits may start to run out because of the shutdown. So again, you've got Donald Trump, Derek Van Orden, and friends who would rather see families lose out on their food assistance and see health insurance costs rise to pay for tax cuts for billionaires rather than run a government in a functional manner. And so Maggie will have more about that with her guests just after 5 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. To learn more about any of these shows and much more, head to civicmedia.us. Well, here's something absolutely nobody's been asking for. The headline from Hope Carnop in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: Wisconsin Republicans introduce bill to allow concealed carry without a permit and propose stronger constitutional right to bear arms. Stronger right to bear arms? Allow me to steal from John Stewart, who says, if more guns make us safe, when does that start? We are already a nation awash in guns. We are a nation awash in blood. From all of the people who die from gun violence, from accidental gun discharges, from suicides, and more. And yet, there are now Republican lawmakers who've introduced several bills aimed at expanding access to firearms, including allowing for concealed carry without a license, without training. Why? Who is asking for this besides the mythical next mass shooter that you are encouraging were these bills to pass? And of course, they won't pass. Governor Tony Evers is still at the helm. He still knows how to operate a veto pen. So once again, these are lawmakers who are wasting your time. They're wasting taxpayer resources to make a political point, to go back to their districts and say, gosh, we tried to put more guns in the hands of more people without training and without licensing, knowing that we're increasing the odds of mass shootings and violent crime and gun accidents. But that mean old governor wouldn't let us do it. Could I kindly suggest you just put out a press release saying, hey, if you elect a Republican governor and a Republican legislature next year, here are the bills we would introduce to increase the odds that you or somebody you know would get shot. That press release will cost a lot less than the process of writing these bills, introducing these bills, having to take up time for committee hearings, even conceivably passing them, as ridiculous as they are, having the governor veto them, come back into session to attempt a veto override, which would fail. You've got people like Senator Andre Jacques and others who are saying, like in this quote from the story, for many Wisconsinites, firearm and archery traditions are more than recreation. They're a way of life passed down through generations. Yeah. Yeah, they are. And they will continue to be. Because the people who do hunting and sports shooting and archery and everything like that know to go through the processes to get a license, to get trained, to take hunter safety. That is not the same as basically rolling a truck into the middle of town, dumping a bunch of guns on the streets and saying, have at it, gang. These are the people that love to point to a Milwaukee or a Chicago or other places and say, oh, look at all the violent crime there. They love to trash Milwaukee and other places. And then they propose bills like this that are going to put more guns into people who aren't trained, aren't licensed, aren't vetted. What a waste. Meanwhile, Republicans are recycling a candidate for attorney general. The district attorney in Fond du Lac County, Eric Toney, has officially launched a second campaign for attorney general. So there will likely be a rematch with Josh Call, the incumbent Democratic attorney general, who beat Eric Toney last time around. Now Josh Call has decided he wants to run for a third term as attorney general, and Eric Toney wants to take him on again. Well, what do you think Eric Toney talked about in announcing his campaign? Here it is. We have also seen Milwaukee crime spiraling out of control. We see reckless driving where we know people are afraid to go to the city of Milwaukee. People avoid it altogether, and that should not be the case. Milwaukee is the largest city. It should be the engine that drives our state forward, that people feel safe to go and visit and enjoy the beautiful city of Milwaukee. Have you seen the attendance figures at American Family Field and for Bucks games and for Summerfest and the Milwaukee County Zoo and all kinds of other areas where people love to go to Milwaukee to dine and to recreate and to visit? They know the places that they want to go, but it's such a convenient, easy talking point to bash Milwaukee writ large as if you're going to do something about it as Attorney General. Oh, by the way, he did bash one other group while he was there, immigrants. Because again, it's just a broken record with these folks, including the broken record of recycling a failed candidate. There's today's segment on not so great ideas. How about we go to today's history lesson? You want more Taylor Swift? I got more Taylor Swift for you. It's right after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The information vacuum continues to take a toll on commodities. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says without reliable data from government agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, traders turn to things like social media as streams of information. Not necessarily always reliable, definitely not something that can always be verified, but he says they trade it anyhow.
Very much so. And obviously in our modern world of trading now too, with the algo traders and you know, they're searching headlines and anything that comes, from the administration or just news anywhere just triggers market reaction. And that's some of the volatility that we got in all these markets right now. It makes it just very difficult to manage for producers in terms of protecting risks, things along those lines.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He said now, because it's so late in October, he fears that if the government doesn't reopen soon, the November World Ag Supply Demand Report will be on the chopping block. He said all the information they release in the November report actually collected in October.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 177.5. 40-pound block cheese was down three at 176.5, and AA butter stood still at $1.58 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is right now up 18 cents at 17.16 a hundredweight. December's up two, 16.53 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn is unchanged at 420. March corn unchanged at 434. We've got November soybeans up 2 at 10.33. January soybeans currently 2 cents stronger at 10.51. And July new crop wheat down a penny right now at 5.38.5. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible and still breezy. A high near 50. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, high low 50s. It's 42 right now.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires.
When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers. The consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigvi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
We're going to start today's history lesson with a little Bob Seger.
Could use a few pounds.
That is because on this day in 1976, Bob Seger released the album Night Moves, along with the title track there. It spun off singles like Rock and Roll Never Forgets, Main Street, and The Fire Down Below. Again, Night Moves, the album was released this day in 1976. If you've ever heard the term rugged individualism, when talking about politics, Where did that really get its start? A guy named President Herbert Hoover, who made a speech on this day in 1928, talking about the American system of rugged individualism. You know, the solitary cowboy who can make his own life without the government telling him what to do. Rugged individualism. A speech on this day in 1928 that proved that even presidents can be utterly clueless about the workings of a functional society. Because somewhere between individualism and outright full-on dependence for handouts, there's all kinds of middle ground, including the right balance of something known as community, where we all work together with our resources to create a better life for all of us while maintaining our individual liberties. You know, community, as in it takes a village. Somebody was very right about that back in the day. Let's go way up to 2012 right now. So my goodness, it's been 13 years ago since Taylor Swift released her fourth album, Red. The first single there went to number one. This was apparently some kind of a kiss off to an ex she refused to name. So we'll go to resident Tay-Tay historian Parker Olson. Did we ever find out who she was talking about never getting back together with?
This is an excellent question, Pat, which I have not researched. However, I do believe that we can probably figure this out.
You think so? All right. Well, there you go. Our next assignment for Google. Better yet, let's bring in ChatGPT because, I mean, why have AI to cure cancer when you can use it to research Taylor Swift song lyrics? So we're gonna get to work on that.
And we've already got it.
That's right. Red also included the single "I Knew You Were Trouble." I knew you were trouble, and again, that was released 13 years ago today. On this day in 1966, the Supremes became the first ever girl group with a number one album. The album was The Supremes A Go-Go. Very typical name for 1966 when they had an album that went to number one. On this day, 60 years ago today, 1965, the number one song was by the Beatles.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
And one of those Beatles is on today's history lesson for a reason that came up almost 20 years later. On this day in 1984, Paul McCartney released the soundtrack for Give My Regards to Broad Street, a film that covered a fictional day in the life of McCartney, who wrote the film for the screen. It was a bit of a dud, but the album did well, including some Beatles remakes and some new music like this single. Wait another day. Single, he said.
Single. Until I call
you. So No More Lonely Nights was one of the singles off Give My Regards to Broad Street. But I mentioned, along with the Beatles remakes, there is an updated version of Silly Love Songs that, you know, got a little bit of traction back in 1984, but I still cue it up every now and then. It's definitely worth a listen to hear what Paul McCartney was thinking 20 years after the Beatles of some of the fresher versions of tunes. Again, for a movie that I didn't see. I don't know anybody that saw it, but, you know, some movies don't do so well. Their soundtracks do all right. So that's great. Let's see. One more birthday. It's a kind of a short history list today. Shaggy is 57 years old today. Mr. Bombastic. We all have some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. Shaggy. Shaggy is a much better stage name than his birth name. Orville Burrell. Okay. Orville Burrell was born 57 years ago. He's a two-time Grammy winner. He's a Marine, a Gulf War veteran, was married for at least a decade, 5 kids. He loves to be the benefactor of a children's hospital in Jamaica. Now he's got his own XM channel. And I'm not saying that I want a voice like his. I'm just saying I'm very jealous of it. It's just so distinctive.
It's interesting, yes. It's not a voice I would peg for a guy named Orville.
No, not at all. So Shaggy's 57 years old today. Actor Jeff Goldblum is 73. Actor Bob Odenkirk is 63. Corbin Burns, the actor, is that right? 31?
Well, I don't assume that's the actor. I assume that's the pitcher.
It's got to be the pitcher. Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea.
Oh, my goodness.
Are there more Corbin Burnses?
Yes. From the movie Major League. He was the Corbin Burnson. That's who I was thinking of. My mistake. I was like, wait a minute. Did I put that in there because of Major League being filmed in Milwaukee? No. You're just talking about that guy, not the other guy. On this day in 1966, boy, we've mentioned Weird Al Yankovic twice in a week here. In 1966, 7-year-old Weird Al Yankovic had his first accordion lesson. His parents rented the instrument from a door-to-door salesman.
Door-to-door accordion sales. That's the career I want to go in when I grow up.
You know what? When we talk about Amazon and all the other, you know, Christmas gifts and everything out there, we don't have door-to-door salesmen like we used to.
No, that's true.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. No. I'm just saying your kids' chances of playing an accordion are a little less now because we don't have door-to-door accordion sales reps.
I mean, my brother played an accordion. In a mariachi band, yeah.
See, now that you're going to get work. There's going to be mariachi bands. You're going to need that. I think that was actually quite cool. Let's see. What else have I got here? Oh, the start of the Cuban Missile Crisis, this day in 1962, when President John F. Kennedy announced that American reconnaissance planes had discovered Soviet nuclear weapons in Cuba and had ordered a naval quarantine of the island nation. On this day in 2002, Christina Aguilera released her album Stripped with singles that included Fighter. So the album had plenty of songs that basically burned down her image as a wholesome little pop starlet from the Mickey Mouse Club and everything. But that worked out just fine for her. There were ballads there like Beautiful, a very powerful song about self-acceptance, and More. It was basically the first time that she had creative control over her music, and so she really roared onto the scene this day in 2002. Let's see. There's also, here's out of the news headlines. 6 years ago today, that America's top diplomat in Ukraine, Bill Taylor,
testified that then-President Donald Trump had tied military aid to Ukraine into demands that Ukraine open up a phony investigation into the Biden family. It was shocking at the time. I mean, people knew that Donald Trump could say and do a lot of things, but to actually tie military aid to another country, unless they shake down his political opponent, was something so over the line that it led to an impeachment and should have led to a conviction. But Republicans in the Senate, Ron Johnson and others, decided to change the rules in this country as far as what presidents are allowed to do. On this day in 1907, there was a run on the Knickerbocker Trust Company. There's a name you don't see. We got to bring back the name Knickerbocker. Not just the New York Knicks, just Knickerbockers overall. That's a good word.
It is a good word, yeah. I'll give you that. I think we should just call them the New York Knickerbockers all the time. I don't think we should call them the Knicks.
I believe that is still their...
I think it is,
Their full name.
Yeah. Probably. I don't hear it at all, though. That's the problem.
Anyway, so back to 1907. There was a run on the stock of the Knickerbocker Trust Company, which set off the panic of 1907, which I always enjoy when I see these in the history lessons, because we call them depressions now. The Great Depression. We had the Great Recession.
Sure.
But there were plenty of, you know, big economic slumps in over the years. But they were called panics back then.
We had a history lesson a week or two ago.
We had the Panic of 1873. And this one was the Panic of 1907. It was all based on a bubble, as all these things are. The bubble this time was about copper. Copper speculation. Probably because, you know, they realized that copper wiring could be useful in you know, transmitting things and things like that. Yeah. No doubt for construction. Anyway, this whole depression in 1907, or panic, if you will, led to the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank that we have now. All right, 6:46, and it's time to take a look at what's on the National Day calendar for today.
It is National Lung Health Day. So make sure you're not smoking, probably, is the main thing there.
I was going to say, that's the main thing. You want lung health, you know, put out that heater. You don't need it. I mean, you can maybe treat yourself to, like, you know, one or two, you know, Swisher Sweets a year, you know, when you're out drinking with the girls. But that's really about it. So be good to your lungs. What else we got?
It is also National Color Day. It is not like, it is like color, but it's not like pick your favorite color. It's just like, okay, enjoy that color is there.
Enjoy that color is there.
That's basically okay. It.
So basically, if you know somebody who's color blind, I mean, are you supposed to be extra nice and empathetic to them? Are you supposed to rub it in their face? I'm not sure how this works, but
that's a good point.
Just so it's appreciate that you're not colorblind day. I
suppose,
guess.
Yeah.
That's one
we should
way
rebrand
to look at
it.
Okay. Anything else?
We've got National Nut Day.
Like, just nuts overall.
Nuts overall.
That's the thing about these National Day calendars, man, because I'm sure that there's National Macadamia Nut Day, National Walnut Day.
Yeah.
This is the big umbrella one. Be thankful for nuts.
Yeah. It's a good day. I like nuts.
Okay. Yeah. The thing that this time of year is the one time of year that I appreciate a little combo that I like to call peanuts and candy corn.
Roasted,
because
like salted,
you got
to
do
peanuts.
Something yep. with that candy corn. Who would eat candy corn plain? I mean, just would you put your paw into a bowl of sugar and just throw a fistful of sugar in your mouth? That's candy corn.
Whoa. What you got to get is candy corn.
It's just, it's all sugar. I can feel my teeth falling out just thinking about it. But now you take a little bit of candy corn and some peanuts and you throw that in, and man, that's a payday bar or a salted nut roll that you didn't have to pay extra for the wrapper and the name and everything else.
You know, I like the combo. I love the, like, roasted peanuts with the salt and the candy corn in there with the, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. you can't be dunking on straight candy corn like that. It's good.
Eventually, Mr. Olson, your teeth too will age and get to the point where you know that if you were to just put candy corn in your mouth, you would be getting instructions on how to clean those dentures going forward. So just like it's Lung Health Day, consider this your tooth health reminder not to put straight sugar into your mouth, even if it is Halloween. Some nuts in there with it, because it's National Nut Day. Coming up in the next hour, we are going to be talking to the president of the Viroqua School Board all about the
decrease in general state aid, well, cutting to 0%. Not very helpful in an era of inflation. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Hey kids, is your teddy bear feeling sick? Don't you worry, the hospital is almost open. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And on Friday, October 24th from 5 till 7 p.m., head to the Building for Kids in Appleton, which will transform into a teddy bear urgent care during a free night hosted by Children's Wisconsin. You can bring your teddy bear or any stuffed animal for a checkup, engage in themed activities, and enjoy a free evening of play in the museum. Head to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In 2023, under pressure from election conspiracy activists, Texas and nine other red states left the multi-state cooperative called ERIC, which helped to keep state voter rolls clean. 2 years later, local election officials are asking Texas state election officials for immediate fixes to its reportedly erratic homegrown voter registration system called TEAM. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1070 in June 2023, authorizing state officials to create a state-run interstate voter registration cross-check system. Over 2 years later, and on the eve of the TEAM system's rollout, VoteBeat Texas reports that four organizations representing Texas election officials cited inconsistent system behavior, only intermittent and under-resourced support, and statewide training gaps. Just last month, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson announced agreements with nine states to share and compare voter registration data in an effort to replace the Electronic Registration Information Center's sophisticated data processing capability to identify voters who moved, died, or registered in more than one state. The Texas election officials said in their letter, "The current state of the TEAM rollout creates undue risk to voters and the integrity of election officials," and urged action before November 4th. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News, and I'm joined today on Valley Focus by Karen Schneider, the publisher of the Oshkosh Herald. Hello, Karen.
Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I am doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. This chill reminds us that autumn is like here. And it's...
What have you guys got going on in the Herald this week?
So we have two stories that I think people of Oshkosh are going to be really interested in, and they both start at the committee level.
Okay.
So the first one is a new energy plan that the Sustainability Committee had approved and sent to council. It's a 285-page document on making the buildings in Oshkosh more sustainable. And it's pretty in-depth, so I'm not going to go into it, but I highly encourage everyone to read it. But the roadmap has five strategies: improve total building efficiency, mm-hmm. makes sense, right? Adopt high performance buildings, implement fuel switching from fossil fuel to non-fossil fuel sources.
Okay.
Achieve 50% renewable electricity for all city operations by 2035, 100% by 2040. He does say take that with a grain of salt, because that's a big leap, right?
That is a huge leap.
Huge leap. And then maintain funding to support the plan. And part of that is if you're earning monies back by providing your own electricity, let's put those in a fund so that we can continue to reach that 100% fossil fuel free goal.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty in depth. The sustainability committee did pass it. It went to council last Tuesday, and the council also adopted it. So you'll be seeing some of that. Again, it's a roadmap. It's a plan on how to get there, not really dictating how to do it, but giving the roadmap on how to get us there. You know, it talks about different buildings that are in Oshkosh that have the rooftops to put solar on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe there's three of them that were really good. One of them, interesting enough, was City Hall, which is also being talked about being replaced or renovated or what have you. The one that is not conducive to solar would be the Oshkosh Public Library.
This is true.
So it was very interesting. They looked at the square footage of where you could put solar, the number of hours that the sunlight hits it, to calculate all this. And, you know, as we just put solar on our house, I think 3 years ago, and it's always one of those first things we look at when we open our electric bill is how much did we save by having our own our solar on there. So I think the community will find this very interesting. It has a price tag, but it's one of those long, you know, you have to look at down the road to see what the return is going to be when you have the initial investment. So that's the sustainability committee. Then there was also another committee that met, the transportation committee also met and had on their agenda about the UTV ATV resolution to allow those vehicles on city roads.
Right.
There was the poll call that went out. Mm-hmm. They kind of shared some of the comments, but also the results on that. And I believe it was like 55% were not in favor of, 45 were. So it wasn't a big stretch, but it was more no's than yeses. And when they put it out there to get a motion to discuss and take a vote, there was no second. Well, there was no motion to bring that to the floor. So the transportation committee does not have a recommendation to council. Whether it comes back up on council is left to be seen. It just would not be sent from the transportation committee. But you know, the discussion was good. Part of it also was about e-bikes. And former council member Chris Larson had shared that video of the e-bike going down Main Street. And I do believe they had said e-bikes, when there are storefronts on Main Street, will not be allowed. So that was one of the things that was discussed about. You'll be able to read all of that in today's Oshkosh Herald. But your advisory committees, because they are advisory committees,
right?
Have been busy with a lot of these conversations and subjects that we've been talking about, and either passing along and doing the work and providing it to the council, or you know, listening to what the public feedback was on a survey or whatnot. And you know, one of the questions that came up on the ATVs is where is the data? And there's also a quote from the police chief Dean Smith too, who rides his bike, and he had said along the lines of he doesn't like riding his bike on the street or in bike lanes because of the things that you see, right?
Right.
So I think that's very interesting, and it's like, okay, bicycle riding has been a rite of passage forever. So how do we make that safe, and how do we blend that into our community? Versus the e-bikes, which, you know, one of the other recommendations was if they're in the city sidewalks or the roads, that they have to be in pedal mode. But they are tackling these issues and talking about them. And I think that is what the people of Oshkosh need to be aware of and will be interested in reading those comments and where those all end, because these are conversations that have been taking place. And so far, this is the resolution to those subjects.
This has been mentioned in common council meetings several times. These are the places where people can volunteer to serve the city and can actually sit on some of these advisory committees and be part of making the policy for the city.
One of the things is, because it still ticks me off, is, you know, a lot of these subjects go through the committees before they get to the Common Council, where they're on the agendas to become ordinances. And last month, they waived the rules to waive the rules on having those two readings, right?
Right.
So this is where it's really important to pay attention to what is going on at the committee level, because it's only going to get to the council most likely once. And that's all I'll say on that.
Karen, where can we find the Oshkosh Herald?
So you can find us online at OshkoshHerald.com. Or you can find us in the BPs and Quick Trips around, as well as Festival and Piggly Wiggly.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
This is Lisa Hale for WISS and Valley Focus.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump said to be wanting nearly $250 million from his own Justice Department. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Sources tell ABC News that President Trump is pushing for a personal $230 million payout from the Justice Department as compensation for the federal investigations he's faced.
Well, I guess they probably owe me a lot of money for that. Yeah, that's true.
That money would ultimately come from American taxpayers. The president now in charge of the department that investigated him for allegations of Russian meddling in the 2016 election and mishandling of classified documents in 2022.
The president's pick to head up the Office of Special Counsel Paul Ingrassia has withdrawn his name after many of his text messages were found to be offensive. Long lines outside the Louvre this morning as the famous museum opened its doors to the public for the first time since the robbery of many of France's crown jewels. The wing they were housed in does